There tends to be a lot of focus on the top 40 index when looking at the equities market, but there are plenty of other companies that are listed on the JSE, some of which we've engaged on this platform when releasing their financial results, for example, who have plenty of current and potential value that perhaps gets overlooked. To tell us about the trends taking place in the small to mid-cap sectors and why this area should be of interest to potential investors, I'm joined on the line by Keith McLaughlin. He's a fund manager at Alpha Asset Management. Thanks very much for joining us, Keith. Now, you tend to focus your sights on the small to mid-cap stocks. For those who may not know, what are small to mid-cap stocks and what measure is used to distinguish the two?
Sure. So small capitalization is really a classification in terms of size of the market capitalization of a business. What I mean by that is if you take all the shares and you multiply it by the share price, you get the market cap of the business. Mm. You can rank the biggest businesses down to the smallest, and we typically in the market classify the smallest as small caps.
Yes.
From a global perspective, that market cap, i.e. remember the share price multiplied by the number of shares as the size of the business or fair value of the business, a small cap is about $1 billion market cap and down. So from a South African context, that would be about 15, 16 billion rand market cap and down. Hence, although we talk about small caps, some of these businesses are not in fact that small. Mm. Now, the South African market is quite small. So what you find is a 15, 16 billion market cap classification would in fact take you into what the mid-cap index range. So from a South African perspective, I tend to say everything that is outside, i.e. smaller than stocks in the top 40, is largely classified as a smaller mid-cap, and let's view them as a homogenous bunch.
Yes. Now, why is there value in investors looking at being invested in the small to mid-cap sector as opposed to being invested in your more popular top 40 type of counters?
Sure. So the first thing is quite obvious. The lower you get on market and finance typically works with trade-offs. When you take more risk, you tend to achieve more return. So as you go down lower down the scale in terms of size of a listed company, you often find smaller companies that are growing faster. Because don't forget, every large company started as a small one.
That's
and
right.
What took them there was growth. So now, typically speaking, small and mid caps outperform large caps. Now, in short periods of time, that may not be true, and that hasn't been true for a couple of years in South Africa, and we can touch on that in a bit.
Yes.
But I'm talking in long periods of time, they tend to. So the first one is easy to explain. Upside. If you want to generate good performance, this is an exciting part of the market globally as with domestically. The second one is less obvious, and you kind of said it in your question to me, where there are 300 to 400 stocks listed on the JSE, but the top 40 only has 40 of them.
Yes.
And in fact, there is a huge amount of duplication within that index where you've got the major banks. So if you buy Capitec, Standard Bank, Absa, First Rand, on paper, you look like you have diversification, but in reality, you're deeply concentrated in the banking sector.
Mm.
So you're only focusing on 40 stocks. Whereas there's another about 360 or 300 odd that are outside of the top 40. So ignoring that part of the market means you're ignoring 80 to 90% of all listed stocks.
Yes.
And that includes business models and companies and exposures that you can get in the space that are simply not represented in the top 40.
Yeah.
So the two simple reasons are you want to generate higher returns. This is a good place to be. And you want diversification instead of duplication of the top 40. This
yeah.
is a great place to be.
Which also speaks to spreading your risk as well.
Definitely. And like I said, there are business models here that just don't feature elsewhere.
Mm. So with the year 2020 dominated by COVID-19 and its impacts, what sort of trends have you noticed in the small to mid-cap sector?
So I need to, and globally, there has been a trend for a number of years where small caps as a sub-equity asset class have been underperforming large caps. So I need to provide context to explain this year.
Yes.
First of all, obviously, small caps in South Africa are part of global small caps, and they've been underperforming that. But couple that with the fact that we are also in an emerging market, and emerging markets until recently have been very out of favor. So developed markets, i.e. the US, has been outperforming emerging markets. And then couple that with our market is in fact so cheap, it falls deeply within the value bucket. Mm. And the value factor as a style of investing has been underperforming for a number of years as well. So our market arrived at this space into 2020 limping. It was already pretty crippled, to phrase it mildly. And the final nail in the coffin was small caps and smaller businesses tend to be more domestically focused. And yes, hence the weak macroeconomic environment and the lack of GDP growth in South Africa for a number of years obviously negatively impacted them. So we entered this year down, and we entered this year weak. And yes, obviously the floor fell out in March, where all correlations pulled to one. It didn't matter what company you were in, what asset class, because there was a scramble for cash. So let me run some numbers. Mm. From the relative highs in 2017, this market to date is down 35%. Mm. That's massive. That's across years. It's almost dropped by a third.
Yes.
In fact, year to date, it's still down about 8%. But, and this is the incredible thing, from the trough in March/April this year to where it's trading today, it is in fact up 50%.
Wow.
Now, once again, that needs to be viewed in context. Yes. South Africa remains a fragile country. And although our fiscal debt trajectory is worrying, there are a range of other elements that are starting to go right. Emerging markets becoming back in fashion again, mm-hmm, as the world de-risks and guys look to allocate. Second of all, small caps globally have started outperforming large caps. And then finally, value has started outperforming growth. And all of these play into this theme where our small cap market has started to experience what is hopefully a bottom. And 50% up from the trough is not a small number.
Not bad at all. So this is not a stock pick question. One will follow in a moment. But just tell us, where do you see investment value in this space, especially in light of the pandemic? Are there any particular sectors that you're eyeing for growth right now?
So the challenge is the small cap. And let me stand back. My investment methodology in the small cap space focuses on quality before it focuses on value. The reason being is that this part of the market has businesses that can struggle and potentially go under. It is a higher risk part of the market.
Yes.
And don't forget, you, in the perfect case scenario, you want to buy a business when it's small and it grows into the top 40 and becomes a huge business. Now, only a good business will do that. A bad business won't grow into being a large business. Mm. So focusing on quality, hopefully, first of all, de-risks your downside, and second of all, positions you for upside before flipping it around and looking for value and haggling over valuations and the like. The challenge about valuations in this market right now is obviously earnings have been decimated. So how does one value that? And hence, you fall back on a market that's trading below book, because the entire South African FTSE JSE small cap index is trading on 0.8 of book. Everything is cheap, but yes, not everything is worth holding. So my starting point would be not to look at sectors and industries, but to look at balance sheets, cash flows, margins of safety, and competitive advantages, barriers to entry, i.e. I'm focusing on quality for valuation, given that everything's cheap.
Makes sense. So more specifically, what would you say are your current stock picks that you think could be profitable to a long-term investor?
Absolutely. So first of all, and full disclaimer, I've got skin in the game and on these stock picks. I'll hold them.
Okay.
But the starting one, and I'm going to run through them very quickly. I'm happy to zoom in if you want to chat about one or two of them more in detail. But
sure.
Santova is a global non-asset-based supply chain manager that grows superbly. It earns over 100% of its profits outside of South Africa. And the real trick is that it's valued as a South African small cap, even though arguably it isn't, sitting on about a 5x price earnings, despite being what I would argue a global stock. Metrophile is a more defensive one. It's a fantastic way of going long of bureaucracy because they do document storage. So that's where all your FICA documents end up. But as a deeply cash generative business, They are well priced. They've got very attractive forward dividend yield, good management, de-gearing the balance sheet. And in fact, you've got a free option for a potential takeout on the table about 30, 40 odd percent higher than where the share price is trading. There's then Roynet as well as a good quality business, ungeared balance sheet. We haven't touched on South Africa's green shoots in the infrastructure spending space, but Roynet is well positioned to that in the renewables and cabling side. It's got a strong export defense business and it's got a high margin, nice defensive little ICT, play. And then there's companies like Grindrod, Coronation, Distell, Adcock Ingram that are all really good quality, slightly larger small caps than some of the ones I touched on now.
Yes.
And all playing in different areas, but all of them cheap, all of them well run, all of them have good quality balance sheets, and all of them are likely that if South Africa continues to do well, if small caps continue to rally, if all the themes I've spoken to continue to play in their favor, there's no reason why any of them can't do very well.
Yeah. Now, I guess it's not like comparing oranges with oranges, but say somebody said to you, well, Adcock Ingram, how does it differ to Aspen, which of course is in the top 40?
Oh, absolutely. And that's a great question. Well, it's completely and utterly different. That's how it differs. So Aspen is really a global but focused on emerging markets generics manufacturing business. They hold dossiers and they hold some IP, but view them as a emerging market proxy for generics volumes. Adcock is in fact an entirely South African focused business. Mm. It has no outside of South Africa exposure. It's second of all, it has ethicals and generics, but it's really a branded product and healthcare business. Things like Panado sit within it. And then if one even zooms a little bit deeper and looks at the balance sheet and finance structures, Aspen has an absolutely ginormous amount of debt. Adcock Ingram is completely ungeared. Mm. So these are totally different businesses. And you, even though they're largely in the same market and same classification, they're not really that comparable in my opinion.
Mm. And then lastly, Keith, just in terms of attitude to investment, the importance of diversification, if you can just share that with our listeners.
Definitely. So none of us know what the future is. And you can do all the research in the world. And what lockdown has showed us is you could have bought the best hotel operators in the world and have justifiable reasons for buying them and still be wrong because the lockdown and collapse in tourism just shut down airlines and hotels and the like. Mm. So what we do is we want to maximize our return by making intelligent investment decisions in building a portfolio. So we want to earn based on our skill, not based on our luck.
Yes.
The way we hedge out bad luck, because we're not sure which one of these picks will work, is that we make sure that there's minimal duplication across the portfolio, i.e. maximum diversification, such that if even one or two of them has bad luck that happens, the balance of the portfolio generates a return that offsets them, and hence we still generate a good portfolio return going forward. So diversification is your best hedge against bad luck.
That was Keith McLaughlin. He's a fund manager at Alpha Asset Management.